Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh, my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia Tech. All right, there's a young man who just pulled up with a bag of Chick-fil-A, which is the preferred chicken sandwich of the South. Oh, he's going to hate me for this. Hey, young man, I'm not going to interrupt your eating because it's Chick-fil-A. Just keep eating. I mean it. Okay. I just want to ask you a question on the radio. You okay with that?
Sure, why not?
What's your first name, young man?
Ryan.
Ryan. And you're a healthy guy, aren't you? You eat healthy and well, don't you?
Most of the time.
You know how I know that?
How?
Because you didn't get the deep-fried Chick-fil-A.
I got that one yesterday.
Ah! So much for my wisdom. All right, what are you studying here?
Computer engineering.
All right, are you a religious guy at all?
No.
Really?
I would say no.
That's odd, because this is the Bible Belt. You should be. You should be like a Southern Baptist or something.
This is Atlanta, it's not the South.
Ah, you know, you're kind of right. Are you from here?
Yeah, just outside from Dunwoody.
Okay, you're right, because I actually moved from Minneapolis, and you're right. Mm-hmm. Atlanta really isn't the South. But if you get up further north by the mountains, it gets pretty southern.
Yeah.
You can actually, when you're driving, you can actually hear banjos playing off in the distance. It gets pretty southern out there. Okay, so you're not a religious guy at all, is that correct? At all?
Correct.
Do you believe in God?
Probably not the Christian one.
But which one do you believe in?
Maybe something. I don't want to say I'm agnostic, because I don't know.
Well, agnostic just means you don't know.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to say you're atheist.
I wouldn't want to say atheist, that's definitely right, but I haven't thought about it enough to
figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to make an effort in 30 seconds to prove to you that God exists, and I'm going to do it with your Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right. Who made your Chick-fil-A sandwich?
I didn't catch your name. Someone behind.
Didn't even see the person make it.
Right.
Right. And yet somehow you know that somebody made that sandwich, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the person's name, you don't know their attributes, but you know that they made a sandwich, and the proof that there is a creator of your sandwich is you've got a sandwich in your hands. Here is proof that there's a creator of the universe. The universe. You know that there is a universe maker because you have the proof of a universe which is more intricately designed than your Chick-fil-A grilled sandwich. There you go.
I don't know. Me having a sandwich really just proves that I have a sandwich.
Uh-huh. And you sitting on a creation proves that there's a creator.
Proves that I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. I'll even work with that.
I could have popped in here. No reason. Just because.
Yeah, that seems a little science fiction-y, but okay. It seems like you're here. It feels like you're here. You think, therefore, you are, aren't you? If I punched you in the nose, you wouldn't say, hey, I could just be an illusion. No worries. If I grabbed your sandwich and ran, which I'm frankly a little bit tempted to do, although I'm a bit of a germaphobe and I probably wouldn't eat there, nothing personal, you would chase after me. And you wouldn't go, well, this is just kind of an existential universe, no big deal. You'd run it. If I stepped on your foot. Sure, you'd get over it, but you had to get over something, which is the demonstration that this is real. You're feeling stuff. You're here, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, how'd you get here? Did you get Big Banged, or do you think you got created?
I'd have to say Big Bang. And then a long series of slightly random occurrences later, I'm here.
I'm going to tell you a proverb.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A proverb says that a friend will wound. An enemy multiplies kisses. Translation of that is somebody who truly cares about you will say a hard thing to you. An enemy will always just go, you're great, it's wonderful, but they'll stab you in the back. Do you want to know why I bring that up?
Wow.
I'm going to wound you right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got a piece of lettuce on your front tooth, right? And I care about you enough to tell you that hard thing.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Now, you know your sandwich was made. The proof that you were made by somebody is you. You are more intricately designed than that sandwich. Somebody put you. Nobody blew up a bunch of materials, and that sandwich came to be. Nobody blew up a bunch of stuff, or a bunch of stuff didn't get together and blow up all by itself and become you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. How's that? You, my friend, have a creator. The question is, who is it? Because I don't think we can go about the business of trying to make up in our own minds who it is. That would be ridiculous. Because
I would agree with that more.
And it'd be like fashioning a piece of wood and worshiping it on an altar. It doesn't make... I mean, if it's not a real God... The question is, what is truth? Who is the true God?
I would agree that your proof is a prettier explanation than mine, but doesn't mean I necessarily believe
it. What an honest man. Really. Good on you for that. But you don't believe it anyway.
Probably not.
I think I know why.
What's that?
I think inside of the human brain, there's a thing called the conscience. That little courtroom that says, I've done bad things. I have done wrong things. And if I acknowledge that there's a creator and admit that there's a creator who gave me that conscience, I'm going to have to give an account. And I'm going to have to abide by that creator's rules that are written in my heart. And I don't want to. It's obvious. The creation proves there's a creator. My conscience tells me what his rules are. And I don't want to live by them. Therefore, I will suppress the obvious truth so that I can live any way that I want to.
I would argue that we don't have a way of knowing the rules that anything that might have made us would impart on us.
Well, your conscience. Lying, stealing, murdering. That gives us a pretty good idea about who the moral lawgiver is, that those would be the rules. All right. I want to try something pretty radical with you. All right? I'm going to try to probe into your conscience for a minute and dig in there and put some paddles on it to see if we can awaken it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take a veering away from logic and reason and philosophy for a moment, and I'm going to get into morality and into your heart. All right? How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
A lot.
Okay. If I told a lot of lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me?
What's your name?
Todd.
I'd call you Todd.
Todd the... rhymes with pants on fire.
Radio spokesman. I mean,
who's
a liar? I'm not
going to
judge you for that. I've lied.
I know that, but that doesn't mean that I'm not a liar just because you've lied. If a murderer's murdered and he goes, well, that guy's murdered, so I'm not a murderer, that's ridiculous. If you've lied, that would make you a...
That's a jump.
What do you mean it's a jump?
Lies,
you call me a liar.
Lies don't dominate your lifestyle. I'm assuming you haven't been lying to me this entire time.
I have not. How many murders would a murderer have to commit before he becomes a murderer?
That's...
One.
One, because it's a much more drastic step than a lie.
Well, let's deal with that in just a moment.
Okay.
All right? That's a very fair response, but it only takes one violation of the principle to be that thing. If you murder once, you're a murderer. If you lie, you're a liar. Have you stolen one thing in your life?
Yeah.
All right. So what would that make you? Somebody who steals something is called a...
I believe you're aiming for a thief.
Or a televangelist, but let's go with thief. All right? Okay, so you're a liar and a thief. All right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever lusted?
Yes.
All right. So inside of your heart, so not just the things you do or say, but what's going on inside of that brain. Imagine this. Let's say we put a computer chip behind your ear, and we recorded every thought that ran through your noggin for 1 week, 7 days, and then we pulled together all your pals here at Georgia Tech, all of your friends and family, and we took that computer chip, popped it into a computer, put it up on a big screen, and they got to see your heart.
My heart's behind my ear?
Close enough. You get the point.
Yeah.
Don't be a literalist with me.
Sorry.
That's my job.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do they see?
Very strange string of thoughts and a lot of things I wouldn't want them to see.
Exactly. God sees them. God knows them. Everything you've done, everything you failed to do that you should have done, every time you've taken his name in vain, instead of swearing or using a filth word, you actually use God's name. All recorded because he is more thorough than a computer chip behind your ear. Now, this judge, God, is going to have a day of reckoning because he's a just judge. We like justice. We like criminals forced to give an account for what they have done. We like to see justice served, and so does God. I think we get that idea from God. The Bible says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Someday he's going to kill you. That's how it works. You don't die because he's sustaining your life, whether it's through pleasant means or unpleasant. He's going to call your number, and you will be done breathing. And you will stand before him and give an account for every thought, every word, every deed. Will he say that you are an innocent man or a guilty man?
Guilty of what? I guess I'd ask.
Lying, stealing, lusting, blasphemy, coveting. dishonoring your parents?
Yes, I have done those.
So you'd be guilty, right? So if God is just, what should this just judge do with you? Take you to heaven or send you to hell?
Assuming this would happen, I don't know.
I think you do. You just don't want to say it. I wouldn't.
Hmm?
It's a horrifying thought. Nobody wants to go, you know, I think I'm going to hell when I die. Because hell's a horrible place.
I have not said I thought that, and I don't.
Well, you think hell's a good place?
It's not what I said either.
No. Do you want to go to hell?
Not particularly.
I don't. But if God is just, should he reward you or punish you?
He'd probably punish me for not believing in him, according to your
standards. Among other things, yeah. That would be another thing. That would be another crime among many crimes. Disbelief is one crime among lying, stealing, lusting, murdering, being angry at people, dishonoring your parents. You would go to hell.
Okay.
All right. Dude, can you tolerate me for another couple of minutes?
Sure.
All right.
Why not?
I got to do a break, and we'll come back. All right?
Okay.
Hold on. This is Wretched Radio.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çocalı. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Wretched Radio today. We always appreciate when you email us your comments, your questions, your conundrums, and even your snarks. You can do that by emailing idea@wretched.org. We always love to hear those stories and snarks and comments and conundrums, just like this email we received from Alexandra, who says, Todd, just started listening to Wretched Radio and love the heartbeat of this ministry. I have been feeling an urgency for a long time about coming persecution, and your show boldly addresses it. Just like Alexandra, send us your comments, your questions, your stories, and your conundrums. Again, you can do that by emailing idea@wretched.org, or you can call Beep Talk at 1-866-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies, because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are listening to a modern day miracle. This is Wretched Radio. We're at Georgia Tech, and I'm sitting next to a modern day, maybe not a miracle, but definitely an anomaly. A computer engineer with a witty personality. His name is Ryan. Dude, you're just kind of not the stereotype. You should have a pocket protector and be a little dorky, but you're kind of witty.
Thank you.
A little on the sassy side, too.
That means a lot.
Alrighty. It does?
Yeah.
I just called you sassy, which is not a word that I would know.
Okay. That particular word, maybe not, but not fitting
the stereotype. You're kind of zippy. You're kind of punchy. You got a little character going on. Alright, dude. Here's where we left things off. You were going to hell. It's pretty much the end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, yeah, you said I was going to hell.
Well, the question isn't what I say. The question is, what is truth? Here's what I was trying to reason with you about. Inside of your brain, that conscience should be informing you, you know what? I have lied. I have stolen. I have lusted. I've been a murderer in my heart by being angry at people. I've dishonored my parents. I've taken God's name in vain. Your conscience should actually agree with what I'm saying to you. Your conscience bears witness that you have broken God's laws.
I don't think you can tell me what my conscience should think. I think my conscience should agree with what I believe.
Okay, so that's still, no offense, dude, but that's still irrelevant. It's like a criminal saying to the judge, "Judge, I don't care what you tell me what my conscience should say. It's what I think." That is irrelevant. The question is, what is truth, dude? That's the big question. It doesn't matter what I'm saying. See, what I'm sharing with you, I believe fervently with all of my heart. I would die for what I'm sharing with you. All right?
We should hold those values, but...
But that still doesn't make them true. Dude, I'm a stranger. I could be with a cult. I could be planning on kidnapping you and taking you away to sell you into slavery. You have no idea.
You'd choose a better place than this. This is a little conspicuous.
Yeah, I guess I can't even come up with a response to that because I don't... Thankfully, I don't quite have that criminal mind that apparently you have.
Hey.
So, you don't know anything about me, and it's irrelevant what I believe to be true. The question is, what is truth? Here's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus Christ is either the truth or he is not.
And we know that because we found a book that says that, right?
Didn't find it. We've got eyewitnesses reporting, putting it in a book, that you might know how to be saved from the wrath of God. Here's the deal, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a court case. I don't know if you're into law or not, but you will be brought before the just judge, and you will be found guilty because he knows everything. And he, because he is righteous, just, and good, must punish you and every other lawbreaker. And he will. But God has other attributes besides righteousness and justice. He's also merciful and gracious, and he's kind. And he wants to save sinners like you. But he can't just say everybody goes free, because then he wouldn't be righteous and just anymore. So we've got a dilemma. We've got tension. God, the just judge of all the world, must punish all people according to what they have done. But he's rich in mercy. So, to satisfy both, Jesus, God himself, became a human being to be your representative. To be punished by men, beaten by men, hung on a cross by men, taking the punishment of God himself on your behalf, so that your guilty crimes can be paid for and satisfied by his good work. You, the bad man, your deeds put on the good man, Jesus Christ, his goodness credited to your account in exchange. That is the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Christianity. So, God offers you forgiveness, mercy, and everlasting life. And more than that, Jesus kept all the laws that you've broken, so that all of that goodness can also be credited to your account, so you can not only be seen as not guilty, but as righteous. You can be forgiven. Your conscience can be cleansed. You can inherit eternal life. You can be set free, claim not guilty, because of Jesus paying your fine on your behalf. The question still remains, is that true? That's the question.
I don't think so.
Right.
But if I do find myself in that courtroom, I believe I could convert to Catholicism on the spot and I'd be okay, right?
No, that'd be like the judge saying to the criminal, or the criminal saying to the judge, Judge, what do you want me to be? That's what I'll be. The judges say, no. You have got a fine. You must pay your fine. Somehow justice must be satisfied. And the provision that God has made is Jesus. You've broken God's laws. Jesus has paid your fine.
Broken the God that you believe in his laws.
That is all. That is partially correct. Mm-hmm. But is my belief true or not? We still come back to that issue.
I don't think I'm in the place to decide whether your beliefs are right.
It won't offend me, but I'm irrelevant. All right? The question is the gospel of Jesus Christ true or not? Here's my plea for you, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Think about these things, okay? Because if what I'm saying to you is true, you have a death sentence on your head. God will strike you once, and he will not need to do it twice. He will get you, and you will pay for your crimes against him. Okay?
Okay.
That's a fact, if I'm right.
If you're right.
All right? So you need to choose whether I'm right or wrong, whether the Bible is correct or not. Don't land in the land of postmodernism that says, well, that's just what people, they can believe whatever they want to, I'll believe whatever I want to, and that's truth for me. We don't get to create truth any more than I get to create the campanile as God. It is either right or wrong. I'm either right or wrong. You're either right or wrong. So you would do well to say to me right now, friend, I think you're wrong. That would be more in alignment with what truth is, true or false.
Okay. I think you're wrong.
Well done. All right. You're sure?
Yes.
All right. So your conscience doesn't trouble you. You're not concerned.
Overall, no. I'm a good person. I believe in that.
Okay.
I have people that would attest to that.
All right. So the lusting, the lying, the stealing, the blasphemy, being a naughty child, that doesn't persuade you that you're not a good person?
I don't think I'm the only one.
You don't think what?
That I'm the only one.
You're not. That's still irrelevant.
I'm not sure it is.
How old are you?
20.
Dude, I can guarantee you I have broken more of the laws than you have.
I believe you.
It's true. I'm certain of it. But that has nothing to... That has no bearing on your case. How you compare to others is irrelevant to the judge. The question is, how do you compare to the law? And the law, written on your heart, your conscience, bearing witness, should tell you, I'm guilty. I'm not good, I'm bad.
It should by your viewpoint, but by mine, I am no worse than anyone else. I'm better than quite a few people, and I'm fine with that.
All right. So I haven't been able to reason with you about what justice is. Will that argument work in a court of law?
I don't think yours would either. There's a clause in the Constitution against that.
All right. Constitution aside, you're standing in a courtroom. Can you point to other criminals and say, Judge, they committed... There's a story, dude, about a serial killer. I think he strangled 9 women. And you know what he said when he was interviewed? He goes, you know, I'm not a bad guy. I mean, for a serial killer, I only strangled 9 women. Now, that's delusional. Why? Because he compared himself to other criminals. But when you compare yourself to the law, one murder makes you a murderer. One lie makes you a liar. One object stolen makes you a thief. But you've done far more than that. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
I don't think I could count it.
Okay. The God who made you, who gave you that Chick-fil-A sandwich, who, by the way, you didn't stop for even a second to say thank you for this. Instead, you've taken his name and dragged it through the mud by using it in a foul way. Whoa, dude. And that's why God says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain. You have been a criminal against your God. And he offers you mercy. And he offers you justice, but here's the crux of the situation, Ryan. You don't want to acknowledge it because you want to live the way that Ryan wants to live. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
But that is not necessarily why I don't want to acknowledge it.
Okay. What is it?
Because I don't think it's correct.
True.
True.
Okay. Then I will leave your company. You have been a delight to talk to.
Thank you.
But I would plead with you, if today or tomorrow or any other day that conscience of yours starts to work and starts to go, yikes, and a little alarm bells go off, and you start thinking, if I die, I've got a bad feeling about this. I want you to take a look at Islam and take a look at Roman Catholicism and Jehovah's Witness and Mormonism and Hinduism and Buddhism, and they're all going to tell you the same thing. Get to work and try really hard to make up for your bad deeds. Okay? That's what they all have to offer. So take whichever one. If you like to wear a Saudi Arabian outfit, if you like to wear a white shirt and a black tie, pick your favorite outfit and go with that one, because they all teach the same thing. Do a lot of works. But if you realize that your works aren't going to satisfy justice and you need forgiveness and mercy, Christianity is the only religion that has it for you. All right?
Take that into consideration.
All I can do is ask you to think. You're a thinking guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're pondering deep thoughts here on the campus. Ponder that one, because I think that's the deepest thought that you can ever grapple with. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. You are a gentleman, and I appreciate it. Thanks for putting up with me.
Of course.
Goodbye. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, after the Texas Senate Committee on State Affairs considered a record number of pro-life bills yesterday, Chairman Brian Hughes called for a vote on three pro-life priority bills. And today, the committee passed the Texas Heartbeat Act by Senator Brian Hughes, the Preborn Non-Discrimination Act by Senator Kelly Hancock, and the Texas Abolition Strategy by Senator Charles Perry. Next, the policies will be scheduled for a vote on the Senate floor. Pro-life Texans should contact their state senators now to sign on to the life-saving legislation. Well, an overwhelming majority of evangelical pastors believe it's morally wrong for an individual to change genders. That's according to new research from LifeWay that revealed a divide on the issue among various Protestant traditions. The poll of 1,007 Protestant pastors found that evangelical pastors are more than twice as likely to agree that it is, quote, morally wrong to change the gender you were born with through surgery or taking hormones. A full 90% of evangelical pastors, but only 37% of mainline pastors, agreed with the statement. And forgive me, but I don't understand how it's not 100% on a common sense issue. Anyway, among all Protestant pastors, 77% believe it is morally wrong to change genders through surgery or taking hormones. The survey also asked Protestant pastors if they believe it is morally wrong for an individual to identify with a gender different than the sex they were born, an identification that does not necessarily include surgery or hormones. On that question, 72% of Protestant pastors agree with the statement. And about half of Protestant pastors say they know someone who is transgender. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, young man, can I talk to you for a second on the radio? Will you spare me a minute of your life?
Sure.
What are you studying here, young man?
Nuclear engineering.
Because you want to be a nuclear engineer, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You're a smart guy.
I hope so.
You don't look like the stereotypical nuclear engineer geek.
Oh, well,
You look a little too hip.
I try to do that.
Once you become a nuclear engineer, do they cause you to dress that certain way that makes you look like that?
Well, nerdiness tends to follow the field a good bit.
So which came first?
Probably the nerdiness came first.
I see. All right, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Chicken.
That's actually what some scientists just determined. The chicken came first.
Really?
I don't know where they got the grant for that research, but apparently they thought it was worthy of the exploration. It had to be the chicken.
Yeah, I think it had to be the chicken because the mutation came first and then, you know, produced the eggs afterwards.
I have a different take on it. I would say the chicken because it was made. I think that God made the chicken first. That's my take on the deal. You don't.
I didn't have the research grant to do it, apparently.
Yeah, well, what do you... do you think that God made the place, or did we evolve?
That's a difficult question. I don't know initially about the God thing, but I have to think there is some kind of higher power out there that we at least...
What's wrong with just calling the higher power God?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just too many people get caught up into the connotations with it.
Okay. Yeah, people abuse the concept. But the question is, does the concept exist?
I think I do.
You know, it's like people use nuclear science in a bad way. That doesn't mean nuclear science doesn't exist.
Very true.
Okay, so people abuse God, but that doesn't mean he doesn't exist.
Right.
All right. Do you believe in God?
I do.
Who do you think it is?
I don't know.
Do you have a name?
I do not.
Do you subscribe to a particular religious worldview?
No, I do not.
Really?
Really.
So you are kind of a deist?
Yeah, kind of. I guess you could say that.
Why, then, have you rejected Mormonism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, the big ones?
Big ones, mainly, I like history, and observing the history and past of these, some of them don't have quite a great track record, I guess you
could. All right. Rather than judging the object of the faith based on the actions of some of the presumed followers of the object of the faith, how's about judging the religion based on the object of the faith itself?
Well, in many cases, it may not sound like it, but that's quite what I like to do. I like to think about what I would like, the morality of what I see, and however, I don't quite find all the ones lined up in a particular subscription that I like. The history behind them is one of them. It kind of makes me worry about signing up because quite a few people still subscribe to that kind of thing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, okay, so for instance, what's your first name, by the way?
Dallas.
Dallas, nice to meet you. Dallas, let's say that you had you knew somebody, okay? They said, Dallas is my friend, and I met that person and they punched me in the guts, okay? Would it be fair of me to go, that Dallas sure is a jerk, I don't believe that Dallas exists?
Hmm.
That would make no sense, would it?
No.
So for somebody to do something bad in God's name should not impugn that God. No. You look at that guy and go, ah, he's a goof, did a bad thing. The question is, what is God? Who is he? And is he good? And is he true?
Right. But who's to say whose version is correct?
Fair enough. All right, tell me, what is the big teaching of Christianity, Dallas?
Honestly, I could not tell you because of all the different versions I've heard.
Right. You brought up the word morality. I'm going to ask you about the Ten Commandments, right? I'm going to use the morality of the Bible. And I want to do this to see if you meet that standard of morality, right?
All right.
Dallas, how many lies do you think you've told in your life?
I could not tell you.
More than one?
Yes.
All right. Dallas, if I told more than one lies, what would you call me? What name would you give me?
A normal person.
Mm-hmm. A normal person who is a
you're looking for the word liar.
All right. How many things have you stolen in your life?
Actually, I don't know, because I haven't done it. Like, I haven't gone out many times, but, you know, when I was younger, I think you'd stole I'd say probably 4 or 5.
All right. If I stole 4 or 5 things, what would you call me? What name would you give to me?
Oh, a thief.
Kind of a pattern developing here. Yeah. All right, can I go a step further?
Sure.
Purity of heart, lust, fantasies, maybe even viewing pornography. Won't get into fornication, that's your business. Let's just stick with lust. Seeing a woman and having a sexual thought about her. How many times, say, today, have you done that?
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Once.
All right. And you're how old?
18.
18. So let's just say, over the course of 5 years, that would be give or take about, what, 17, 18,000 days, once a day. So you've lusted 18,000 times. Would that be fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you think of me if you knew that about me? Would you let me marry your daughter?
Actually, yeah.
Really? Okay. So you have lied and you've stolen and you lust a lot. Yes? All right. One more commandment for you. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes.
Blasphemy. Okay. So let's imagine this, Dallas. Someday God's going to kill you. Okay? You don't die. God ends your life. Peacefully, painfully, you die because he decides now is your time.
Yeah.
Right? And you stand before this God who's given you life and breath and everything that's precious to you, and he opens up the books on the life of Dallas. Is he going to agree with you that you're a good person, or is he going to see you as a guilty person?
I would probably say there would be some things you would talk that we would see, and I would probably be guilty.
All right. Definitely guilty, right? Because even though I'm sure you've done nice things, you seem like a nice fellow, it has really no bearing on your guilt. Like a criminal who stands before a judge and says, "Judge, yes, I've broken the laws, but I give money to charity." Makes no difference. He's a guilty criminal. You'd be a guilty criminal just like, frankly, everybody. God, your creator, is going to have a day of judgment with you. The books are open. Every thought, every word, every deed, and everything you should have done but didn't do. I don't know if you thank God for your food today, but all the times you should have said thanks for the air. By the way, that's another thing you've stolen, is the air from God. So you've taken his air without a word of gratitude. He opens up the books. He knows you're guilty. What should he do with you, Dallas?
Well, I think that he would be understanding. Again, nobody is perfect. We are not.
It's irrelevant, though. It's like the criminal pointing to the other criminals and saying, "Look, they're guilty too, so let me go." That's irrelevant.
Well, they let him cast me to hell.
Well, it's a harsh thought, but if he is just, and I think we like the idea of justice, don't we? That bad guys get what's coming to them. He should. That's exactly what he should do. He should send us to hell. So, my question for you is, I just took you through the Ten Commandments. You'd be a guilty guy going to hell. The question is that true or false? That's the issue.
I think it'd probably be true.
Okay. So then as we sit here, you, my 18-year-old friend, are going to hell. That's true. That's a fact.
Well?
And I got to be honest with you, I hate that idea. I don't know you from Adam, dude, and the last thing in the world I want is for you to go to hell.
Well, me, I guess being a standard representative, well, how would I be redeemed? That's where it comes down to the prescribed faith of how you find redemption and for what you do.
I could not possibly agree sort of more, but right at the end you threw in a couple of words that I disagree with. What you basically said is, how can I find redemption? And I was like, yes, dude, yes, great question. How can I do that? My answer is, you can't do that. My answer is, you, Dallas, cannot redeem yourself any more than a criminal standing before a judge can redeem himself who is guilty of committing crime upon crime against an infinitely holy judge. See, because, Dallas, this is why you can't redeem yourself. Your crimes haven't been against me or the driver of that truck. Your crimes have been against God himself. And they are infinitely punishable because you've committed a crime against an infinitely holy God. Therefore, you, Dallas, are unredeemable by yourself. You can't do it. There's no way you can offer anything pleasing enough to God that will get you accepted by him. But the question is still there, can I find redemption? I don't think you can redeem yourself, but I think redemption can be found. Do you hear the distinction I'm making?
So then what is your recommendation?
Jesus. Your Redeemer. Your Savior. He is the God-man who came to this earth to be your representative, to keep all the laws you've broken, to die on a cross on your behalf, taking the punishment of God himself for you, the criminal. Jesus, the God-man, dying for you, the criminal. Your bad put on him, his goodness credited to your account. He wants to buy you back, and he's paid the fine so you can be purchased back. See, God can't just wave a magic wand and say, "Sins be gone," because that wouldn't be just. You need to be purchased back, and the payment for you is the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on your behalf.
Well, then, in your own words, then my debt has just been accredited to him, so all I've done nothing except switch who I'm paying my debt to.
Not quite, but I've got some other bad news. I gotta take a commercial break. Can you sit tight for a second?
Sure.
You're a good man. Thanks. Well, you're not a good man, but you know what I'm saying. All right, hold on. This is Wretched Radio.
So, you're one of them there Christians that wants a lot of bang for your giving buck. I concur completely, and that is why I would like to commend to you the Masters Academy International. If you would like to see your giving go a long way, the Masters Academy is the vehicle that will make sure your dollar goes very, very far. They train indigenous pastors in 16 countries around the globe to rightly pastor and to rightly preach the Word of God for years, for decades. Consider the fruit that will be born from training a pastor to rightly divide the Word of truth. If you would like to get a lot of bang for your giving buck, please learn more about the Master's Academy International. Pick a country that's near and dear to your heart and give with confidence. Wretched.org/pastor.
Well, you know the old saying about men not stopping to ask for directions, or men not really asking for help from anybody in general. Well, as a man, there's some truth in that. But let me also break down all those barriers right now by asking for your help. Not with directions, but with Wretched. See, we can't do what we do at Wretched without the help and support of God's people just like you. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Now, that's not us bragging. That's an ECFA fact. Because we're ECFA approved. Check for yourself. And from one man to all of you, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today? All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321.
Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds and they will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about. And on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Mexican. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Talking with Dallas in Atlanta. This is Wretched Radio, talking about the big issue, Dallas, of redemption. Being bought back, being made right with God. You can't do it. Jesus did it for you. He paid the fine that you owe to God. So now here's the situation. You were saying, well, wait a second, how does this accounting work? Here's the accounting. You've got a debt. You can't pay it. You are more than bankrupt. You are in huge debt. Jesus kept all the laws you've broken, lived a perfect life of righteousness, suffered at the hands of men, took the punishment you deserve, the Father himself pouring out his wrath on the Son on your behalf. Forgiveness is available for you, Dallas. The fine, it's sitting there like money in a bank. The question is, how does it get transferred to your account? That's the issue. The answer is another R word, not redemption, but repentance. To access the forgiveness of God, you, Dallas, need to repent, which means agree, God exists, he made the place, he has rules, I've broken them, I deserve his wrath. He sent his son Jesus in an act of amazing kindness to die for me, a sinner, demonstrating his love for me. He rose from the dead, and he paid the fine for my crimes. I'm sorry. You turn from your sins, not in perfection, but with a new attitude about your lifestyle and your sins and your priorities. And you say you're sorry to God, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You must die to yourself. It's the language the Bible uses. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. The laws of God that I used with you, the Ten Commandments, should kill you. You should look at those mirrors, the mirror of God's law, and go, wow, I'm seeing myself in truth for the first time. All these years, I thought I was a good guy, but now I see myself the way God sees me. I'm not good. I'm a bad man. The world might look at the veneer and think I'm pretty good, but I know my heart, and it's wicked. And you say you're sorry to God, and you put your trust in His Son. You humble yourself. You die to yourself. And God says, you come to me in humility, and I will save you. You die to yourself, I will make you born again. That is what God offers to you. Forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. But His terms are complete surrender. No bringing good works. No acts of righteousness that you suppose you have. Jesus paid it all so that He can get all of the credit for being an amazingly kind God. And just so you're not confused, Alice, because this can sound a little bit like hellfire preaching, those guys who will yell, turn or burn, turn or burn. The reality is, if you don't turn, you will burn. But that shouldn't be the motive for your turning. God doesn't look for that. God wants you to turn, not because you're going to burn, but He wants you to turn because He has been so kind to save you from the burn. He doesn't want a fear-filled convert. He wants a tear-filled convert. He wants a guy who turns to Him, not just so that he can selfishly get out of hell, but so that He can get all the credit. He did everything for you, and He wants to get the credit for that. So you come to Him on His terms, bringing nothing. He saves you. He gets all the credit. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, one thing I want to address, big issue, is that you did it. You said because it was His kindness that you turned.
Right.
Not for selfish reasons to get out
right.
of hell,
yep.
which you would be surprised, in my opinion, if you looked, how many people are doing it just so they don't do that, not for the kindness. So, I'm glad you made that point.
Yeah, yeah. It's unfortunate because there's a lot of people, if you took all the religions in the world, Dallas, and a lot of Christian religions for that matter, you can kind of put them in one group. It's all do, 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 work, 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 try, try, and they get you on a treadmill of doing stuff so that you can have a better family, better kids, better marriage, better health, better life, better wealth. And maybe God won't be mad at you and you'll go to heaven. It's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, be done with you. Admit you're a sinner. God is looking for broken hearts and contrite spirits. That's what God is looking for. Because He wants to save a wretch like you so that He can point to you for all of eternity and say, to demonstrate how amazingly kind I am, I saved Alice. That's what He is about, the business of in this world. Because He could send you to hell in a heartbeat, and frankly, it won't take a calorie for Him to do that. It's nothing. You know, it'd be like if a bug walks by and, you know, I stomp it, you're probably not going to be impressed with my mighty power. Same thing is true of God. If He sends a guy like you and me to hell, it's nothing. But if He takes a guy like you and me, who's been a rebel for a long time, and says, I will show mercy, and I will show forgiveness and kindness, and I will rescue you, and I will forgive you, and I will turn you into the image of my Son Jesus, and I will give you the rights of sonship, the rights of adoption, and I will take you to heaven so that you can be with me forever. That's amazing. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to save you. That is His purpose for this world, to save Dallas so that He can be glorified. There is only one thing that you need to figure out. Is what I have just been pitching to you true? That's the question.
I have to say, what you're saying is true. However,
yeah,
I still think doing it on a personal level and
I
not
agree.
Sitting in a pew on Sunday mornings will change.
I'm not asking you to go to church. I'm inviting you to get saved. God commands you this day to repent and trust His Son. It is personal. Church is a separate issue. I am here to let you know you're in trouble. God is going to get you. And it's going to be so thorough, He's going to grind you to powder. And I don't want that to happen to you. And I'd like to see God glorified for saving a wretch like you. That's why I'm here. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to think about the truth claims of the Bible and respond in repentance and faith. Because I'm walking away. I'm walking away here in about 2 minutes. So I'm not signing you up, not dragging you to church. I'm telling you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to process this and ponder it. You need to determine, is it true? Did God make the place? Are there rules? Have I broken them? Is Jesus really who he claims to be? God himself came to this earth to rescue me? Could it possibly be that amazing? Did he really die for me while I was sinning against him?
Well, the person of Jesus was invented at the Council of Nicene. And what his powers were determined. The concept of being saved, yes, but I don't like the name attached to it.
Okay. You know there's a different history to the Council of Nicaea. You know that, right? That the person of Jesus who lived in the first century was under assault by a guy named Arius, who was saying that Jesus wasn't God. The Council of Nicaea got together in 325 to put an end to it, so that everybody would know who the true God is. That's how history progressed, okay? It wasn't a bunch of guys who decided to make Jesus God one day. Everybody knew it in the first century. In fact, most of the heresies before Council of Nicaea were people couldn't figure out how he could be man too. That was a relatively recent one, the Christology of Jesus. He's the God-man. Look, I'm not trying to be a jerk to you, okay? Because I am certain I am a worse guy than you. I'm certain of it. But that doesn't mean you are not bad.
True.
Okay? So either you will pay for what you've earned, or you can trust Jesus in his payment for you. That's the offer of God. And dude, I've got to tell you something. It is the most amazing offer that has ever been made to you. God died for you, a sinner. You will never find a kinder act that has been done for you. Ever. God should squash you right now, but instead he keeps giving you air, he keeps giving you time, and he gave his son on your behalf. You now know the offer of the good news of the gospel. Bad news is this: if you die without responding to this in repentance and faith, your hell will be worse because you've rejected such an amazing offer of kindness. Your increased knowledge of the goodness of God will condemn you even further. So as I leave Dallas, I'm pleading with you. I don't know you, dude. Listen to your conscience. Listen to it. Let it scare you. Let it awaken you like an alarm bell going off. Danger. You are in big danger. But God offers mercy. Receive it. Repent and trust his son. Ball's in your court, dude.
Well, unfortunately, I may just have to accept the deepest circle of hell. And then my penance will be for finding out that I was wrong.
Alrighty. See ya. Thanks for being patient with me. Well, I can't do anything more with Dallas right now. He's walking away. But I have 15 more seconds to plead with you. Do not let the words that I have just spoken echo for eternity in hell because you rejected his kind offer. Please listen to your conscience. God is saying to you this day, come to me. Repent and trust my son, and I will save you. Please, don't be Dallas. Respond to the offer of kindness. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.